Welcome to the April 27th, 2008 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today is the beginning of a four-day revival with the message Sideswiped by Guilt delivered by the Reverend Randy Weeks. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
There's a lot going on in the life of our church this week, so bear with me because we got a lot of great stuff going on. First of all, we'd like to get a record of everyone that's here this morning. At the end of each pew, there should be a pew pad in a burgundy sort of folder. And what we'd like you to do, if you're a member, you know, write out your name. Let us know any contact information that might have changed, and let us know that you're a member or a regular attendee. Same if you're a guest, write your name, your contact information, and all the boxes that apply. And so once the pad has made it all the way down to the end of the pew, we just ask that you send it right back down to the other end, and that person can tear off the piece, and the ushers will collect that at the end of the service. Today is the beginning of revival, and we'd like to say a special welcome to the Right Honorable Reverend Randy Weeks. He's the pastor of Walnut Ridge Baptist Church in Mansfield, Texas, and I guarantee you, if you've never spoken with him, you will be blessed today in a very special way. Beginning tonight, we'll have several revival services outside beneath the big tent that I'm sure you saw on your way in here. Tonight, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday evenings. These services will begin at 6:30, but we invite you to come at 5:30 to fellowship with dinner. It's bring your own dinner on Monday and Tuesday. The only night that you don't have to bring your dinner is on Wednesday, when our youth will be preparing and serving hot dog dinners. There will be turkey dogs, bratwurst, some real good eating there. And that is to raise money for youth missions in the future, and so we'll be taking donations. Unlike most Wednesday nights, there will be no reservation needed, so we just invite you to come and enjoy the good food and the fellowship there. So again, dinner at 5:30 every night this week during revival. Service starts at 6:30. Also, we ask that anyone who is able to come and help us set up, pull the equipment outside. We're going to start doing it at 2 o'clock. We need a lot of strong hands and strong backs. We have to move the sound equipment. We have to set up chairs and all that good stuff. So we ask if you're willing to come and be a part of that at 2 o'clock this afternoon. So revival just should be an amazing experience, and we're very glad that you're here this morning to start us off. Also this week, we are collecting toys and other supplies for the preschool ministry. There are two displays, one of them outside Smith Hall and the other in the preschool hall. And these displays have a bunch of pictures of toys and supplies and things that we would like to obtain for our preschoolers. And so what we'd like from you is to go and visit these displays, take a picture of one of these items, and go and purchase it. And during this week, during revival, there will be bins that will collect these things as you can bring them. I'm not sure where they'll be yet, but we'll make them obvious and available. All right, okay. Again, I'd like to call Russell Talley. Announcement about Sunday school celebration.
Okay. We're having our annual Sunday school celebration next Sunday, May the 4th, of all times, during the Sunday school hour from 9:30 to 10:30, and it will be in Smith Hall. There will be a dazzling array of foods and beverages for consumption. There will be entertainment for the entire family, including music, dancing. I'm not getting a yes on that. Puppets, all kinds of fun stuff. Our very own Doug Jordan will be offering remarks. Will you be dancing, Doug? Where is Doug? No, I guess not. Okay. This would obviously be a great, there you are, would obviously be a great opportunity to invite a friend to Sunday school in a nice low-stress environment. Or if you've been on a self-imposed Sunday school hiatus, what better opportunity to get back into that Sunday school groove thing, folks? Here it is. Next Sunday, May the 4th, be there or be square.
Thank you. This morning, we will also have children's time. So after the pastoral prayer, we invite all the kids to come forward. And Jeff will, right here, right? This is for children's time. And Jeff will be talking about guilt. All right. I don't envy you that. We would like to say a very special welcome to our guests this morning. Worship is something that we really emphasize here at College Park. So right now our ushers are coming forward. And we just ask, if you're a guest this morning, we'd like you to just raise your hand. We don't want to embarrass you or anything, but you've given us your information on the pew pads. We'd like to give you information about us. They'll come and hand you a small booklet that'll have information about our church, a recent newsletter, and other important information about our church. And this'll hopefully be an outlet for you if you find yourself wanting to get involved at this church. We hope that this worship service this morning is especially meaningful for you, and it is right that we gather this morning. And so I ask that if you'll look in your bulletin at the invitation to share in worship. This is a responsive reading, and so I invite you to stand as I read the light print, and you can respond by reading the dark print. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name.
You turned my way into jest. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever.
Amen.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Almighty God, what a great morning. What a great time to be part of your church, part of your body. This is revival. This is the time when we come here to recommit, to rededicate, to recreate. We come here to rejuvenate our spirit. Father, we ask that you descend on this place. Let your spirit fill us. Let it be only you that is seen, heard, and felt this morning and throughout this revival. We thank you for honoring us with your presence. Father, we ask that this week be a week of change for the people of this church. We ask that Randy speaks only your words, that he can deliver your words and your message to us. We thank you for these things. We ask that we also remember why we are here. For without Jesus Christ, we would have no reason to revive. We'd have no reason to be here to worship or to sing or to dance, to clap our hands, to shout for joy. So, Father, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, in your name. Amen.
If you'll please stand with us this morning as we worship God. This next set is a medley of hymns, and there are two hymns. Those numbers are listed in your bulletin, and the words for the middle song are in your bulletin as well.
So exalt, lift up on high the
Jesus who died.
The Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all. Has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hands.
Sing with us.
Majesty, singing majesty.
Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, during worship, as we lift up words and songs of praise, and as we lift up prayers to you, we are reminded of your majesty, the majesty of your name, the majesty of who you are, and what you mean to all of us. Lord, this morning, I give thanks for each person here, from the youngest to the oldest, for those who are here for the first time and those who have been here 1,000 times. Lord, thank you. Thank you for them. Thank you for loving each of us the way that you do. Lord, we depend on you. And Lord, as people that you love, we come to you in prayer because we need you. We seek your presence. We seek your forgiveness and your mercy. Because of our sin, are separated from your love at points in our lives and at points in each of our days. And it is your presence and your mercy and your forgiveness and your redemption that we need to bring us into your presence, to help us to be who you created us to be. Lord, as I lift up a prayer on behalf of each person here today and all of the College Park family, I ask for your continuing mercy upon us, that we will overcome sin because of the great gift that you have given us through your Son, and experience the fullness of your love and the fullness of the blessings that you have for us. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving each person here. Thank you for the opportunity to share in your presence. Thank you for the opportunity to have a personal relationship with you that can sustain and abide in us and make all the difference in our lives. Lord, as we enter a special week for our church and an opportunity to refocus and maybe chart a new direction for our spiritual lives, we ask that your presence be ever so strong, that we can put the past behind us and concentrate on today and what you have for us. Lord, speak to us. You have a different message ready and prepared for each one of us to hear through the same revival services. Speak to us, speak through us, and help us to be changed by what you're doing in our lives. Lord, thank you for loving us. It is in your name that we pray. Amen.
It's because of God's grace that he sent his son to take away that guilt, to take away our sin. We're going to stand and sing, "Grace greater than our sin, and your grace is enough."
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters and to mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So
Father, we thank Thee for this church, for this day, for the variety of the ways we can express our love and our desire to serve Thee. We thank Thee for the opportunity to tell this, to review the story ourselves and to tell the story to others of how Christ came to save our sins. Help us to know and understand the promise that we receive not only salvation, but life and life abundantly. We pray especially for this time of thanksgiving and revival, and we ask that Thou will be with us through the week in a very special way. Amen.
majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God! Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead, three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing how great is our God. You're the name above all names, worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art,
going to get your raisin right there, I'm telling you. A lot of personality there in that little package, isn't there? I want to hang with her some this week. She needs a little dose of Pastor Randy. Me and her. Life would never be the same probably for either one of us. It's a great joy. I appreciate y'all having me back. A year ago today, Raymond took me to, as yesterday, Raymond, a year ago yesterday, that Raymond drove me to the airport, and I made a mad dash back to Texas, and a year ago today, my mother passed away. She passed away at 3 o'clock in the morning. I can't tell you how hard it's been this past year. Is this not on?
No, turn it off.
Start over. I told you I'd be able to work
about it.
You know that? Now, who's Sam's mom?
Sam was baptized 2 weeks ago.
Sam was baptized.
Sam's grandma.
Who's Sam's grandma? Oh, there you go. There you go. Oh, man. Anyway, I'm going to stand behind this for a little bit till Raymond comes back. But a year ago today, my mother passed away, and I was, I want to tell you, I appreciate the way this church loved on me, and I thank y'all for letting me come back. I hated to cut the week short, but I got to be with her, and before she died, it's been a very difficult year. I've missed her like crazy. I didn't know it would affect me the way that it had, but as losing my daddy when I was 18 and my mama and I, we had each other for 32 years before she went to be with Jesus. And I preached her funeral. And I'll be honest with you, we had a little too much fun at her funeral. In heaven, there'll be no more crying, no more pain, no more suffering. But if she finds me, I promise you, there will be a whooping. I got out of line at her funeral. I'm telling you, it was bad. I hadn't been asked to go back to that church yet. And you know, when the devil fell out of heaven, he landed in the sound system. Did you know that? Amen? You ever notice that? It's always, you know what it takes to be a sound guy? You go. Where's the sound guy? He's probably killing me. Oh, hey. Good to see you, Jeff. We'll say goodbye to you later on today. You'll go by. This is Jeff's last day here. All right, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
There we go. Okay, let's have church. We're messing around. But anyway, it's been a good learning year. The hardest thing I ever done was bury my mother. And Barbie, I was thinking about you. First thing I did when I got here today, I said, I want to see you. And God bless you. You know what I'm talking about. The second hardest thing I ever done was having to pack my mother's house up, and I sold it. And I want to tell you, that is something that that was tough, because that was my home. Do what? But I look forward to the day. I look forward to the day when I never have to say goodbye again. I want to compare for you the 1960s and the year 2000. And if you'll just bear with me for a little bit. And many of you, and I was a junior high student back in the 60s. Some of you were adults. Some of you were not born yet. Some of you were even old back then. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. Okay? Oh, that's so bad. Anyway, and if you look at how the 60s and the year 2000 are comparing, it's amazing the correlation. Let me give you an example of this. In the 60s, we were in a war called Vietnam, and the general public didn't bite off on it, did they? Guess what? We're in Iraq. In the 1960s, they come out with a philosophy. If you saw the hippies holding up signs that made this statement, God is dead. That philosophy come from Nietzsche. Nietzsche, who was a pastor's son, his daddy was a little distorted, that believed that if you want to identify yourself with Christ, you'll commit suicide at 33. for that's when Jesus died. Nietzsche came up with the philosophy, said God is dead. Today the philosophy is pluralism. Everything's God. Everything's God. And the modern thought today, right now, listen, is I'm going to take a little bit of every religion that I want to, and I'm going to pull from this group and this group and this group and this group, and I'm going to form my own, and that's what works for me. Folks, that is a lie. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the beginning and the end. That's it. Back in the 60s, there was a book written called The Late Great Planet Earth. Y'all remember that? And you remember reading that, and everybody thought Jesus was coming back tomorrow. And I'm telling you, people were getting saved, and kids were getting saved, and you know, and to tell you the truth, listen, I believe Jesus could come back today. Believe you me, bring it on. I'm ready. I really am. I'm ready. I ain't got a problem with going to be with Jesus. I have no problem with that. I'm ready. Now, some of these boys that go around and want to set dates for you, that's who I struggle with. I heard one of them get up and preach one time, and I'm telling you, he wouldn't set a date, but behind, you know, the piano stand, he would. And I said, you mean to tell me, this was back in 1987, and I said, you're telling me Jesus is coming back in 92, right? Well, the best I can tell from all the insight into Scripture that I have, and all that I've studied in the global events around the world, 1992. I said, let me ask you a question. You got life insurance? He told me, shut up and walked away. But anyway, it's funny to me, you hit somebody in the pocketbook, that really changes their theology kind of quick, you know. Back in the 60s, you saw kids rebel against parents. Folks, we're losing a whole generation right now. We're losing a whole generation. Back in the 60s, there was a thing called the Jesus Movement. And it was probably one of the last outpourings of revival that this country has ever seen. It got tied in real close with the hippie movement. And because of that, they would come to church, and the church said, we don't want you. We don't want your long hair and sandals. And so we don't want you because you don't do it the way we do it. Have you ever noticed it's always how it used to be that's right? It's never in the future is right. You ever notice that? And the Bible talks about a new song. Today we're having spiritual revival, but it's not Holy Spirit generated. In fact, you hear this, I'm spiritual but not religious. And the church is missing out. Because for the most part, we found ourselves complacent, apathetic. We're just not alive. And I'm convinced that the world is looking for believers to stand up and say, you know what? I want to show you Jesus. I don't want to just wear the t-shirt. I don't want to just put the fish on the back of the car. I want to show you what Jesus is really all about. They are starving to death for that. And it's time that the church, time that individual believers get revived and get serious about loving Jesus and showing Jesus to a lost and dying world. Now I want to tell you why I believe that our spiritual lives struggle the way that it has. Because let's all agree with this. Has God saved you to grow you? Have you got to agree with that? Is God in the process of growing you? Listen, understand, if that's the case, understand no matter what age you are, until God calls you home to glory, God's in the process of growing you. Now, He grows you through all kinds of things. But what happens a lot of times, as we begin our spiritual journey, and we get excited saying, you know what, God, I'm really going to try to make an effort at this, we find ourselves sideswiped, knocked off course, absolutely wrecked, and that's the whole premise of the revival. And today I want to talk about one of the greatest ones, being sideswiped by guilt. I want you to look in Leviticus chapter 6. Verse 1 said, "The Lord said to Moses, if anyone sins and is unfaithful to the Lord by deceiving his neighbor about something entrusted to him or left in his care or stolen, or if he cheats him, or if he finds lost property and lies about it, if he swears falsely, if he commits any such sin that people may do, when he thus sins and becomes guilty, he must return what he has stolen or taken by extortion, and what is entrusted to him or lost property he found, and whatever he swore falsely about, he must make restitution in full, add a fifth of value to it, and give it all to the owner on the day he presents his guilt offering." Now let me stop. There's two things that'll make you guilty. One is what you do to somebody else. Now I want you to look back in verse 1. I want to show you this. The Bible says this, that if anyone sins and is unfaithful to the Lord, all sin is against God. What that means is, if I sin against you, if I come and I steal something, not only have I sinned against you, but understand I have sinned against a holy God. He comes along and he says, this is how I'm going to tell you to make it right with you. So let's say there was a dollar and I come and stole your dollar. I was to go and to say, you know what? I'm going to go and ask him for forgiveness and make my guilt offering. I want this guilt off of me about this. The Bible says I'm going to add a whole plus one fifth more. So what I would give you would be $1.20. So if it was $1, I would give him a whole plus one fifth more. Let me give you a better example of this. The Bible says there was a wee little man that climbed up a tree to see Jesus. His name was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus got saved. After Zacchaeus got saved, you know what he done? And here's one of the greatest, listen, one of the greatest signs of regeneration is the spirit of giving. I saw a bumper sticker the other day. It said, "Tithe if you love Jesus, anyone can honk." Isn't that great? Tithe if you love Jesus, anybody can honk. Here's the truth. Here is exactly what Zacchaeus done. He come down from the sycamore tree and he said, listen, because I've got saved, everybody that I have done something wrong against, I'm going to return it back fourfold. And was talking about financially. Because of his job, his position, he could cheat people. I read a story about a grocer that got saved, and what he would do for years in his grocery store is he would put a broom right at the front of the checkout stand. And I don't know about y'all, I never look at my ticket on what they charge me. He sold the broom, the same broom, thousands of times. And when they'd come back and go, "I didn't buy a broom," he went, "Oh, I didn't know that. It was right here." He was a crooked grocer, and he would add it up. He sold that broom over and over and over again. Listen, after he got saved, he ordered a train load of brooms and give them out to everyone. Now, here's the thing. Listen, if you're guilty for what you did to somebody else, you go make it right. The second part of this, it says this in verse 6, "And as the penalty, he must bring to the priest, that is to the Lord, his guilt offering, a ram from the flock, one without defect of the proper value. In this way, the priest will make atonement for him before the Lord. He will be forgiven of any of these sins he did that made him guilty." It's sin against God. Now, if you'll turn to Isaiah 53:10, and I'll tell you this scripture if you want to. It goes like this. "He rendered himself up as our guilt offering." That Jesus came and died on Calvary's cross to become our guilt offering. Now, then you go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, and it says, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ." Let me tell you why I want to preach on this subject today. I've heard this, and I bet you've heard it before. I know God's forgiven me, but how can I forgive me? I know God has washed away my sins. I know Jesus died on Calvary's cross for me. I know that the blood of Jesus will make me white as snow, but how do I come to the place that I forgive me? I don't believe anyone wakes up in the morning and go, today I just want to feel guilty all day long. Last night I looked at Raymond and I said, Raymond, I think we're going with guilt tomorrow. He goes, we go with guilt every day. See, I don't believe we wake up. Do you? Do you wake up? And here's the thing. We can start out, and how many of you in the course of your day will get sideswiped by guilt? You know, let me tell you what it's like to be a preacher. What a fun life. In the course of a week, you know, you get a phone call about, well, you're not at my surgery, you hadn't done this, you hadn't seen this person, you hadn't done this. Then there'll always be some that'll come and want to correct you, go, well, you don't pray enough, your sermons aren't deep enough. Your wife's going, you're not at home enough. The kids are going, you know, I'm tired of being the preacher's kid, you know. And I go, well, hey, move out. That's fine with me. I don't care, you know. I mean, in the course of a week, you see it all. You see it all. You see death. You see births. You see happiness. You see sadness. You see crisis times, on and on and on. And then they want, you know, you got to crank out a sermon on Sunday, to be real honest with you. And so you're there on Sunday morning, you know, your staff isn't there, they're goofing around, and you're worried about that, and, you know, you're on and on and on and on and on, and all this stuff enters into your mind, and you begin to walk down to the pulpit, and people are grabbing you. And in my church, it's, I'm cold! Amen? You know, the most controversial thing in church isn't music, it's air conditioning. I'm cold. Help me, I'm cold. You walk a little further, and one goes, I'm hot. I'm hot. And you walk around defeated for the most part, you know. You just kind of walk around. 3 weeks ago, this is a true story, I got a lady that I wish belonged to your church. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'll pay her airfare out here weekly to come to your church. Oh, she got me. I want you to know I've talked to every man around here. That right there tells me she's a man hater. And I talked to every man around here, and I'm just freezing to death. And finally, my light wasn't shining real bright. You know what I'm saying? I said, if I was you, I don't think you need any preaching today. Won't you just go on home? I don't think a sermon would have done her any good, to tell you the truth. I think her spirit was shut down when the temperature hit a certain spot. So you get chewed 3 or 4 times about the air conditioning, and there's always some little something, and you come up and you get ready to preach, and here's a true story. Do you know what the devil does? He comes at that point and reminds you of every bad thing you've ever done. Everything you've done wrong. And you're sitting here, I've done it this morning. And you know what you just do? You jump back and say this. I've done a lot of bad, but I'm so grateful that Jesus paid the price on Calvary's cross for my sin. See, I can stand up here today not because I'm perfect, but because He's perfect. Not because I'm righteous, it's because He was righteous. And I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's two guys in Scripture that absolutely fascinate me. One is Paul. He pulled people out of church and killed them. There's some people I wouldn't mind pulling out and kind of working them over a little bit. But I don't think his list and my list would run the same way. David, he was an adulterer. He had an innocent man killed. Now, these two guys right here wrote a mass majority of the Bible. Think about it. Now, I bet you we can go through here, and I bet nobody's killed a Christian just because they're a Christian. I bet nobody's ever had an innocent man killed to protect yourself. So the question is, what did they know that I don't know? What did they know that I don't know? And here's the gist of it. Listen. It's not about, and never has been, about the magnitude of your sin. It's about the magnitude of grace. See, it's grace that is greater than all our sins. That's what it is. It's grace. See, it's not about how bad you are. It's how good He is. And when I hear, you know what, Randy, I just can't forgive myself. And I'm going to tell you, it's a great tool in the devil's hand that will keep believers beat down is guilt over the past. You say, Randy, you don't know what I've done. It don't matter. I've done some horrible things. It don't matter. It don't matter what you've done. It don't matter what you've done. The grace of God. The grace of God. It's about the magnitude of His grace. Let's sing this, just voices. Y'all help me out with this choir. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from
Emmanuel's veins, and sinners fly beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains.
I understand what you said, but intellectually I can't let it go. Let me tell you, if Jesus really forgives it, Randy, why can't I get it out of my mind? See, sometimes it stays in there because you know why? We need to be reminded of the magnitude of grace. For some, it keeps our hearts soft towards God. But it's never designed to defeat you. Has guilt sideswiped you? You know what it sounds like? Randy, you can't do that because look what you've done. Randy, you can't operate that way because look at what you've done in the past and you know, you get reminded of it over and over. You know what? There's people that won't serve in this church because they're guilty about what they've done in the past. There's people that won't come because they're guilty about what they've done in the past. And understand, listen, grace is greater than our sin. And it takes all that guilt away. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And we're not going to be here much longer. And I want to talk you through some prayer time if I could. I just want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And the Bible says is when you pray, you go into your closet. And right now, I'm going to ask you in your heart, I want you to go into the presence of God right now. I don't want you to worry about nothing. I just want you to go to His presence. Now, I'm going to ask you to do one of the hardest things that you'll ever do, is shut the door. You know what that means? That I got to let go of worrying about what's for lunch and who sees me and what I'm wearing and who I need to shake hands with and, you know, this and that. I want you to shut the door. Just shut the door. Now, I want you to address Him like in the model of the Lord's Prayer and say, "My Father." You know, they could have used a lot of words right there. He could have used Master, King, Lord. But He said, "Father." I will tell you this. You know what guilt will do? It'll keep you from calling Him Father. Because some of you, you believe you've done something so bad and feel so guilty about that you don't even know if God still loves you. This is revival. Can you call Him Father? Tell Him you love Him. He wants to be your Father. With every head bowed and every eye closed, and we're fixing to enter into a time of invitation this morning. You know what revival is? Is when God's people get back on track. Have you been sideswiped by guilt? Randy, I had an abortion. Can God forgive me? Yes. Randy, I caused a divorce. Can God forgive me? Yes. Randy, I've stolen and I've cheated and I've lied. And Randy, I'm addicted to porn. Can God forgive me? Yes, yes, yes. Randy, I gossip so bad. I tear everybody around me down. Can God forgive me? Yes. Now I'm just going to ask you with every head bowed and every eye closed. And I don't know how you do it here in College Park that well. But I am convinced of this, that God wants to set you free from the bondage of guilt. I'm telling you, I wouldn't care who saw, who didn't see. Let me say this. If I wanted it gone bad enough, I want to tell you there's a way to get rid of it. And it's coming to Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you a question. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If you're here today and you say, "Randy, I've been sideswiped by guilt. And I need to be set free to get back on track with what God's called me to do." If that's you, I want you to lift your hand and say, "Pray for me." Do that right now. God bless you. Pray. God bless you. 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 Thank you in the balcony. God bless you. In the choir, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now here in a minute, we're going to give an invitation.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.